I'd like to read in John's Gospel, chapter 1. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. That verse could be read like this: the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you desolate. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The final reading in John's Gospel, chapter 21. The Gospel according to John, chapter 21. Verse 22. Jesus saith unto Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The Lord has promised to bless to us the reading from his good word. In the Gospel according to John, and in your New Testament, the Lord's coming can be viewed in three different ways. The Lord came as to the past. The Lord wants to come as to the present, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come as to the future. And I'm going to speak about the Lord coming as to the past, and the Lord's coming as to the present, and the Lord's coming as to the future. In John chapter 1, Christ came as to the past. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Christ came as to the past. In John's Gospel chapter 14, the Lord Jesus wants to come presently. In John chapter 14, I read about the coming of the Spirit. I read about the coming of the Son, and I read about the coming of the Father. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And then, of course, in John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming as to the future. If I will, that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, three questions very quickly. Why did the Lord come in the past? Why does the Lord want to come presently? And why is the Lord coming in the future? What I'm going to do today very quickly, I'm going to go through the four Gospels, and we're going to notice why Christ came in the past. Listen today to a verse in Matthew 5, verse 17. It says this: think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Why did the Lord come in the past? in order that he might fulfill the law and the prophets. I come to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 45. I read a verse like this. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And that's why the Lord came in the past, Mark 10, 45. When I come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, I read a verse like this. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I come to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 47, and I read a verse like this. I came not to judge the world, but to save it. And I was a child at Sunday school, and that wasn't yesterday. We had a favourite chorus. Might be too old-fashioned to sing today, but the favourite chorus was this. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save he came. And when we call him Saviour, we call him by his name. Why did Christ come in the past? In order that he might save us. Listen to one verse from the Bible. 1 Timothy 1:15 says this. This is a faithful saying. It is worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ came in the past in order that sinners might be saved. You know, my brother was saved at a conference. Wouldn't it be grand this Saturday afternoon, a sinner today in the building would find God as their Father, Christ as their Saviour, and be certain of heaven as their home. Christ came in the past to save. But then secondly, very quickly, you know, Christ wants to come presently. Why does Christ want to come presently? Listen to it. He wants to refresh us. He wants to restore us. He wants to revive us. He wants to enjoy communion, fellowship with us. Revelation 3:20 says this. Listen to it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. We heard this morning about a table. And remember, at that table the Lord wants to dine with us. He wants to sup with us. He wants to enjoy communion, fellowship with us. So Christ came in the past in order to save us. Christ wants to come presently in order to sup with you and me. There's a question asked in John 14. And it's asked by Judas, not Iscariot. What's the question that's asked in John 14? Listen to it. How wilt thou make thyself manifest unto us and not unto the world? And the question this afternoon might be asked, how does Christ manifest himself unto us and not unto the world? You'll be thinking, I'm a man of threes. I'm going to give you three ways in which he does it in John 20 and 21. How did the Lord manifest himself to Mary? He did it by words. You know, it was just one word. Mary. She said, Rabboni. You remember three things mark a sheep in relation to the shepherd in John 10? My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. I know my sheep and am known of them. So the Lord made himself known to Mary, and he did it by words. But you remember the 11? We heard about it this morning. How did Christ make himself known to the 11? Not by words, but by wounds. Showed them his hands. Showed them his side. Showed them his feet. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So I'll do it by words as seen in Mary. And I'll do it by wounds as seen in the 11. But go to John chapter 21. Not now is it one. Not now is it 11, but it is 7. And how does he manifest himself to the 7? Listen to it. When John saw the multitude of fishes, John said, it is the Lord. How wilt thou manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? I'll do it by words as seen in Mary. I'll do it by wounds as seen in the 11. And I'll do it by works as seen in the 7. So remember, Christ came in the past to save us. Christ wants to come presently to sup with us. What's going to happen when the Lord comes in the future? He's going to satisfy us. Two verses from the Bible. He shall see of the travail of his soul. And he's going to be satisfied. And the psalmist says something like this. As for me, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. So Christ came in the past to save us. Christ wants to come presently to sup with us. And remember, Christ is coming in the future, and he's coming to satisfy us. Now, one question. Why do we not hear much about the Lord's coming? I'm going to say it. 60 years ago in Scotland, we heard far more about the Lord's coming then than we do now. As a verse in the psalm says this, why are ye silent? Why speak ye not a word in bringing back the king? And why do we not hear much about the Lord's coming? Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to be plain. When was idolatry introduced to Israel? Ponder the question. When Israel lost sight of the man that went up, idolatry was introduced to Israel. Would I be right in saying this today? Amongst us, there's idolatry. And amongst us, there is carnality. And amongst us, there is worldliness. And I fear we have lost sight of the man that has gone up. Now, four things today very quickly before I sit down. The person who is coming, we're going to talk about that. The place to where he is coming, we're going to speak about that. The people for whom he is coming, we're going to talk about that. And a pattern that should mark those who are waiting for the Lord's coming. Now, before I touch those four things, let me say this. There are three attitudes towards the Lord's coming. There are those that despise it. And that's the natural man. There are those that would like to delay it, and that's the carnal man. But there are those that delight in it, and that is the spiritual man. Now let's think of those four things today very quickly. Let's think of the person who is coming. You know, I love that verse in 1 Thessalonians 4. Listen today to it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Do you like that word himself? Listen to a few verses with the word himself. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. The Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me. The person who is coming. If I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. He's coming as shepherd. He's coming as saviour. He's coming as son. And he's coming as sovereign. The person who is coming. He's coming as shepherd. You ever noticed in the Bible he's the good shepherd? He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Linked with the good shepherd is the death of Christ. Linked with the great shepherd is the resurrection of Christ. But linked with the chief shepherd is the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming as shepherd. 1 Peter 5 says this. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory. He's coming as shepherd. You know, he's coming as Savior. We look for the Savior. Who's going to change those bodies of humiliation? And he's going to fashion them like unto his own body of glory. He's coming as Savior. You know, he's coming as Son. 1 Thessalonians 1 says this. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And I come to Timothy's epistle and I notice he's the sovereign. He's the only potentate, the sovereign. He's the King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords, the person who is coming. Coming as shepherd. Coming as Savior. Coming as Son. And coming as sovereign, the person who is coming. But then secondly, very quickly, the next time the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's not coming to the earth, he's coming to the air. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming to the air. Listen to the words of the hymn writer. Soon the trump of God will call us. Soon we'll meet him in the air. Him the altogether lovely and the fairest of the fair. He is coming, he is coming, cast the shades of night away. He is coming, our beloved, and that bright and cloudless day, the place to where he is coming. Thirdly, very quickly, the people for whom he is going to come. I want to make this very clear this afternoon. Every sinner that has been cleansed by precious blood, every sinner that has been saved by sovereign grace, they're going to go when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Now let me say four things today very quickly. We're all going to hear the call. We're all going to experience a change. We're all going to be caught up. And we're all going to be conformed unto the image of God's beloved Son. Let's think of those four things now very quickly. We're all going to hear the call. Ever notice three times in the Bible the Lord shouts? Usually the Lord spoke quietly graciously. But three times in the Bible I'm told that the Lord shouted. Watch the three times. He shouted in John chapter 11. Listen to the verse. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hands and foot with grave clothes. The Lord shouted, and one person rose from the dead. You remember Matthew 27? The Lord shouted, and it says, many of the graves were opened, and many of the saints that slept arose. So he shouted in John 11, and one person rose from the dead. He shouted in Matthew 27, and many arose from the dead. But you know, he's going to shout another once. The Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, and not one person will rise from the dead, and not many will arise from the dead, but millions will arise from the dead. Ah, what do we sometimes sing? A numberless people will meet in the air. The Lord that redeemed them, but will you be there? We're all going to hear the call. You know, we're all going to experience a change. Ever notice the three moments in the New Testament? Luke chapter 4, you read about a moment of time. You remember what the devil does? Takes the Lord Jesus up into a high mountain, and it says, in a moment of time. You turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And you read about a moment of trial. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. But you know, I come to 1 Corinthians 15. Not now a moment of time. Not now a moment of trial, but a moment of triumph. We shall not all sleep, but we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I don't believe it. I don't think the Bible teaches one moment we're here, and the next moment we're in heaven. God could do that, but the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches this: we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So we're all going to hear the call, and we're all going to experience a change. You know, we're all going to be caught up. I remember listening to the late Harry Bell from Jarrow. Never forget his ministry. I heard that man of God say this one day. He says, you know, the Christian life, it's a life of ups and downs. Oh yes, sometimes we're on the mountain. Sometimes we're in the valley. Sometimes we're hot. And sometimes we're very cold. And Harry Bell said the Christian life is a life of ups and downs. But Harry Bell said this: the last one, it's going to be an up. We're going to be caught up in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But you know, fourthly, I've got something better. We're all going to hear the call. We're all going to experience a change. We're all going to be caught up. But you know, beloved, we're all going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. I listened to a brother one day. He said something like this. I never forgot. He said this: God had one son. So pleased was God with that one son. Someday, he's going to make millions like him. And we're going to be like him morally. And we're going to be like him physically. And we're going to be like him eternally. And was it yesterday the hymn was given out? And is it so? We shall be like thy son. Is this the prize which thou for us has won? But then, fourthly, before I sit down, what should the Lord's coming do for us? Let me give you four things very quickly before I sit down. It is given to comfort us. It is given to cleanse us. It is given to produce character into us. But remember, it is given in order to challenge us. Came to me today just this. If I'm living in the light of the Lord's coming, individually, I'll be sober. I'll be loving towards the saints. I'll be righteous towards men. And I'll be holy towards God. And in the light of the Lord's coming, we should love him more dearly. We should live for him more positively. We should labor for him more faithfully, more fervently. And we should look for him more expectantly. He came in the past to save us. He wants to come presently to sup with us. He's coming in the future. And he's going to be satisfied, and you and I are going to be satisfied. And I closed with those words: in a very little while, he that shall come will come and shall not tarry.